Hey, this is LGBTQ and A, where we get to know different members of the LGBTQ community. I'm Jeffrey Masters, and I'm here today with Buck Angel. Buck is an activist, a sex toy designer, a porn performer and producer, and the only guy to win the AVN Award for Transsexual Porn Performer of the Year. Stay tuned. Hey, Buck.
Hello, my friend.
Hey, welcome to our show.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
Oh, my God. I'm so excited. I see you call yourself the Trampa.
Actually, I was coined the Trampa.
You were coined? Yes. Is that just for friends? Can I use it?
Yes. No, I am Trampa.
How were you coined that?
My lady friend, actually, one day she just said, you know what? You're kind of like a crotchety old man sometimes. I think you're a Trampa. And I was like, what? What a brilliant word. And then I became Trampa.
Oh, my God. I love that. I saw that you recently posted about a Trampa Claus show.
Yes.
What is that?
So at my friend's flower shop here in LA called Spruce, which is a queer-owned flower shop, she's bringing me in, or they're bringing me in, to be Trampa Claus. So we can just do a little community service. You know, some of the funds that we raise, we're going to find a homeless youth LGBT homeless youth organization to give back to this year.
Ooh, you're going to be Santa Claus?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That's
amazing.
Santa Claus, and everyone come and sit on my lap and tell me good things or bad things.
Oh,
I'm getting a little spanking. No, just kidding.
Oh, I love that for a young queer kid to have.
Yes, thank you. We feel, you know, I'm big on community service, big time.
Yeah, and I've seen that.
Yeah, big time. And so I am Trampa in a way, which means that a lot of the younger generation does ask me questions and look up to me. You know, I transitioned 22 years ago. So I feel that it is important. My voice is important in a sense that it's different now.
Yeah.
And this is how it was before. And, you know, my experience can help younger guys right now, or ladies, or theys, or whoever they are.
Yeah. Oh, my God. You must be so over talking about your transition.
Actually, people say that to me all the time, but I'm not. And I'll
really?
Tell you why. Because people listen. And I see the effect that it makes on people when they hear it gets better. Because that's the thing that people need to understand. You might be going through stuff right now. You might not get your surgery. You might not be on hormones. But if you just stay focused, it will happen. And that's why it's important for me to talk about it.
Yeah, absolutely. I love hearing that. Can we talk about your sex toy?
Yes.
Great. For everybody who doesn't know, you are the first, your sex toy is the first and only one for trans men.
Well, there are other toys
there
out
are.
There, but this is the very first trans male sex toy commercially produced and all around the world. Other guys have made stuff out of their own, you know,
gotcha.
But this is the very first, so it is the first trans male commercially produced sex toy on the market.
That's
and
huge.
It's huge. We got written up in Forbes.
I read that. That's early.
Cosmopolitan,
really nice article.
Every major paper and place took me, yes.
So that's really impressive. How long did it take to get it made and on the shelves?
Well, my idea had been at least over 5 years. But when I really just started to push this idea was 5 years ago. And I went to every major toy company in the sex toy world. You name them, I went there. And everyone was like, nope, let me see numbers. How is this going to sell? We don't think it's going to sell. But I'm like, are you kidding? I invented this genre. I know. And nobody would listen to me. And then I went to Steve Callow at Perfect Fit. And I just said, I got so tired of doing the spiel. I said, dude, just listen to me for 2 minutes, honestly. If it's not cool, I'll walk away. And in 2 minutes, he just said to me, nobody's done this, Buck. Are you kidding me? That's a no-brainer. Let's do it. And that rest is history.
That's wild.
Yeah.
So people wanted to see stats and numbers of a product that did not exist.
That did not exist. I'm like, are you kidding me? You're asking me something that doesn't make sense. I can't show you numbers of a product that doesn't exist. Well, show me numbers of how many trans men there are in the world. I'm like, I can't even show you that. But I guarantee you, it will be, and it became the fastest, I think it became the fastest selling toy in the market. We sold out of our first run in less than a month.
That's amazing.
In less than a month.
Wow.
Yeah.
So before that, you were making your own?
So most trans, I was taking toys that they make for cisgender men and basically cutting them apart and fitting myself in the hole of it and using it to squeeze. Exactly the Buck Off is exactly what I made with other toys and what we all did, because we didn't have a toy for our anatomy. So we had to find toys that existed and, you know, cut them and maneuver them in order to work with we have a very unique anatomy.
And so does this go,
I know. You're speechless.
No, like in my mind, I was like, I don't want to get graphic, but it's like, it's the body.
Get graphic.
So this goes over the clitoris, which is usually enlarged with testosterone.
Exactly, my friend.
And you can replicate like the stroking motion.
Yeah, so think of a biological or cisgender man's penis, stroker, right?
Yeah.
It's a stroker. So it's basically the same idea, but what happens is our clitorises grow to about the size of the thumb.
Yeah.
And then this thing just fits right over that, and you basically just stroke the same thing. And the reason why it was very important for me to make this is because there are many guys like myself who are not so comfortable with their vagina, and they feel very detached from it. And I believe that sex is a very important part of your transition and learning how to love yourself. What I mean? It's like if you're continually pushing away on your genitals, I don't really think that you're fully accepting your body. So this enables you to, masturbate without actually touching your vagina, but feeling like you're jacking off like a guy.
That's really huge.
No, thank you. It is. The emails that I'm getting from guys are like, you've changed my life. And I know because sex changed my life.
Well, I mean, I think that our culture is so sexualized, and yet we still have this stigma against it.
Yes. It's the most bizarre behavior. It's like, here, take it, but don't. What I mean? It's just like weird, this weird sort of like, let's do it, but let's not talk about it. It's dirty. We'll do it in secret. Like, why would we do that?
I agree. And like for me, like it took a while to separate that I was queer, and I personally didn't have a stigma against that, but my stigma was against sex.
Yes.
Which is so weird to think, because we're brought up and thinking men love sex and it's normal, but like just putting words to that.
Well, because then it becomes this, so you're only gay to have sex, or it becomes this like thing. Yeah, actually, I am gay to have sex because I actually am attracted to other men.
Yeah.
And I want to have sex with them. But it becomes this like, we're just, it's this dirty thing. And I still think it is in the LGBTQ community. It's not something we really talk about on a very positive level, I think.
You're saying sex.
Sex. Even think about it. Whenever someone is going on the internet and looking for partners or doing that, that's all of a sudden a bad thing. Are you on Scruff? Like, who cares?
Yeah.
Why are we shaming people around their sexual habits? If you're on the internet every day jacking off, then you're a sex addict. That's not true. I do it every day. I am not a sex addict.
And I think your openness about it is almost like the most radical part about you.
I jack off every day. I watch porn every day on the internet, and I love it, and it makes me feel happy. And that's all that matters. If it's making you feel happy and it's not stopping you from creating or doing the other things, then you're not an addict.
Yeah. And I think that like the conversation that has been like left back, because we're talking about sexuality.
Yes.
And we're thinking it in terms of sexual orientation.
Yes.
But we're not talking about like sexual feelings in our capacity.
Yes.
Desire.
Yes, right on, my friend. And so that all of those things are very important to me, and why I really am very outspoken. Sex changed my life. If it wasn't for sex and learning how to be sexual with my body, I wouldn't be the guy I am right here. And so for me, I'm the guys, I want to scream it from the top of every mountain. Masturbate.
Yeah. So you did porn. Did you feel this way about sex like through porn and discover it, or did you find that before?
No, before. And it's the reason why I went into porn. It's exactly why I went into porn, because I finally had been so attached sexually to my body, and I was seeing no representation in porn. And we know porn has every representation. There were no trans male performers in the adult entertainment industry. And it was like, how is this? I mean, it was like, I couldn't even believe it. It's same with the toy. I couldn't even believe this didn't exist till I produced it. And I'm like, why is nobody talking about this? Why? And it comes back to our community. It really does. It comes back to our community and being very shut down about talking about sex, talking about our bodies. If you look at it in a whole, we don't really talk about sex in the trans community. We don't. We don't talk about our bodies. We talk about many other things, but we don't talk about the importance of sex. I'm pretty much one of the most loud voices about that.
You're the only one that I know of.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I didn't want to say that, but yeah.
I'll say it.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, that's shocking, don't you think?
Yeah, I do.
I don't understand it at all. And I get a lot of backlash from parts of the trans man community that I shouldn't be speaking out about this, and I shouldn't be speaking about my vagina as if it's okay.
And what are they upset about?
That it triggers... I just got something from someone who just said, Buck, your vagina triggers me. Please stop talking about it publicly. And I'm like, okay, something is out of control here.
You're like, but I have it.
But it's mine.
Right.
And I can talk about my vagina. And I don't understand how my vagina has now become a trigger in the trans man community.
I think like the place you're coming from too is that sex and like your relationship to your vagina changed your life.
Changed my life.
And you want people to experience that.
Yes.
You're it's not like to force it on them.
No, I don't force anything on anybody. Right. I have my own platform. I've built my own platform. I am here doing my own thing. If you don't want to listen to me, shut it off. Don't look at me. Go do something else. So that's the thing that I never understood from this desire to come at me from a certain part of the trans male community, that as if I'm doing a disservice or, you know what I mean? Create something that you want to see.
Yeah.
Many people benefit from my work. Many, not just trans people, people benefit from my work. And that's the most important thing.
Well, I saw that you got a lot of hate during the Trump's grab him by the pussy.
Right on.
You put out a picture with yourself.
Yes.
And what did you say in the picture?
It's a picture of me going like this in a tank white undershirt. And then it says, "Hey, Trump, I grab my pussy. I dare you." And everyone loved it. All the feminist organizations, all the women's organizations. And I did it because I'm a feminist.
Yeah.
I used to be a woman. I'm entitled to say whatever I want to say as a feminist man. Oh, some trans men went off that I'm toxic masculinity, that how dare I represent, how dare I block women's voices. Who's blocking women's voices?
I think some of the criticism that I saw about that was that this was a larger moment about sexual assault. And by a person who's becoming our president, and that's what it's about. But I also understand the other side of, like, we need to bring levity to this.
Yes, we do.
This is a soul-crushing election.
It's disgusting, and I will speak out about it, and I am an activist, and that is my activism.
Yeah.
My body is my activism. That's just, so I used my body as activism, and if you don't like it, create your own activism. But to come at me and say that what I'm doing is toxic masculinity, I mean, what they're doing is exactly what they're saying I shouldn't do.
And I think the way these messages are communicated, it's hard to like see what they're actually saying just because it's so like poorly done.
It's poorly done. It's convoluted.
It's
name calling and it's bullying is what it is. And it's why I don't interact with them. You know, that's what the block button is for. And I've learned a lot and I've learned the hard way. You just don't interact with trolls because that's what they are. They want your attention. That's what they want. They crave to have interaction with you. And instead of saying, Buck, I'd like to have a really awesome conversation with you and dialogue, and let's figure out how come this is... I would have that conversation in a minute. But when you come at me, I'm shutting you down.
See, I just don't have the gene where if I disagree with somebody online, I tell them. I just, like, close the browser.
Yes.
And I'm fine with that.
And you should be fine with that. Or if you want to have a conversation, you say, excuse me, sir or mister or ma'am or whoever... I don't particularly agree with your thing here. How can we have a talk about this? And I can tell you what. That's called dialogue.
Yeah.
And that is the way change is made. In our community, we should be having dialogue with each other. We shouldn't be attacking each other, which is what's happening.
And I think that this goes to like a larger issue of the lack of representation for minority groups.
Mm-hmm.
Since there's so few of you in the public eye, it's like what feminists complain about. We demand perfection. And you're on this pedestal. And if you make one wrong move or do one thing that somebody doesn't disagree with, they knock you down.
They kill you.
Yes,
they kill you. It's happened to me many times in my early activism. I said things I shouldn't have said. You make mistakes as an activist. You make mistakes when you're growing. And I made mistakes. I've made this many mistakes in 16 years of activism. And these things will never leave me. They continue to bring them up. They continue to pull them out of places and say, a list of evidence of Buck being transphobic. You can easily take things I say out of context.
Yeah.
It's a very easy thing to do. But, you know, people don't understand that it's difficult to be a big voice. It's difficult to have an opinion as a person like myself and continues to put it out there because you will continually be attacked. And it's when you have to realize it's not about me. People attack because they're just not okay with themselves.
Yeah, and there's so few trans voices out like in the public eye, but there's also a lot fewer trans male voices.
Yes, this is true too.
I don't know why that is.
I'm working on it. I have been working on it for a long time and really getting more guys to come out. It's the fact, and people wonder why I've been doing this for 16 years. It wasn't like I just started. I really built my brand and built my voice over this many amount of years. Now there's a huge opportunity for trans men to have voices, and I don't understand either why they pick on the people who have the voices instead of saying, you know what, I want to be an activist too, and this is not what I'm seeing, so let me do it.
Right.
In this day and age, you have the opportunity to do anything you want with the media, with YouTube, with every social media platform.
And the people that we look up to, they're allowed to be like multidimensional people who I don't even want to say make mistakes, say things that you don't agree with, and that's okay. Right.
But I have actually made mistakes. I've said things that were they were wrong. I shouldn't have said them. I posted photographs. I shouldn't have posted and that was, again, a learning experience, and I never did it again, and I made an apology, yet they will not let it go.
Well, I think it's huge that you're like, able to recognize that.
I wouldn't be a good activist, and I wouldn't be a good educator if I didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the most upsetting part for me about seeing some of the hate against you is that we've met before.
Yeah.
And I think that you just like exude warmth and like it's like a singularly like loving energy. And so for like people not to see that.
Yeah. Well, you don't see it. Thank you. I appreciate that very much because it is true. I am a very loving person. Yeah. I am a person that just all I want to do is create positive change for our community. Nothing else. I have no desire to be famous.
It almost took me off guard the first time I met you.
Because you were expecting me to be like, wow.
I don't know what I was expecting, but I was not expecting such just like an open and like compassionate person.
Yeah. Because you have to look at my image, right? So people are only seeing like, you know, one dimensional image of me. And, you know, I'm always like, rah, with my cigar or I'm trampa. And, you know, that's my image, hyper-masculinity.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I bring a sensitivity to that because I want to also change the image of what a hyper-masculine man is. And it isn't a man who is so shut down that he beats his lovers and he acts like a crazy person. No, it's a man who cries, a man who loves, a man who wants to create compassion and empathy in the world. So my idea is to, yes, my outside looks like this, but my inside is super, super soft and vulnerable, really. So yes, I get that hate because people make assumptions about me.
Yeah. Do you find that people, your activism and your public speaking, do you find that people take what you say less seriously because you've done porn?
100%, my friend. I mean, it's changing, for sure. It's changing because, first off, because I was lucky enough to get myself in the trans list, the HBO trans list, which really yes. gave me a lot of sort of, it gave me a respectability that I didn't have before, and my voice got to reach such a bigger audience. Now people are understanding what I'm saying, whereas before people would just say, Buck Angel, he's just a porn star, or he doesn't really, you know, oh, what would a porn star know? People, you know, people have this idea of what it means to work in the sex business, as if it's the only job you can do, or if it's you have to be stupid to be. Most of the people I know that work in the sex business are hugely intelligent people and very focused people, but it goes back to what we were talking about earlier. Sex is just this thing that we've been disconnected from, you know, in society, and we're not supposed to talk about it.
Oh, it goes all the way around.
Yes, it does.
Wow. Are you still performing?
You know what? Not really. I did perform last year, and I did a scene because it was offered to me in a straight pornography company, and it was with a cisgender woman, porn star, and it had never been done before. So I'll always go back to shooting a scene if it's something that's never been done before.
I'm kind of blown away that in porn, which I think about as having done everything already, that yes. you're still talking about doing things for the first time.
Yes, but because here's the deal. With the porn industry, it's very conservative. People don't understand that. If you're white, you cannot go and shoot with a black person, or you will be only shooting with black people right there. You can't cross the color line. It's so gross and racist. Then it comes to the gay stuff. Are you gay for pay? Are you really gay? And if you go gay for pay, then you can't come back to straight world. It's very straight, gay, separated, color separated.
Even today.
Even today. And it's why I haven't ever been in a straight, you know what I mean by straight, you know, like the customer base is straight guys. I've never been in a film like that because they never thought that the audience would want to see me. And I understand it from a business standpoint, but I don't understand it from a way that the pornography world has a huge opportunity to make change in this world. I've used my pornography to make change. So when Evil Angel asked me to do this movie, and I was like, of course I'm going to do that. It's going to make change. And it did make change.
Wow. So that must have been huge for you, like working so hard to get into the porn industry to win the AVN award.
It was huge. It was like so, it was 2007, and no one's ever won it since. No other trans man has ever won it since, which is so sad for me, because the whole reason for me to get in here was to bring it and make it into a genre and to invite more guys. But it just, they just don't, there are some guys doing it, but it's just still about this many guys.
Yeah. Where can people find more gender nonconforming porn?
You know, Pink and White TV, Pink and White Label, they're great. They're a queer-owned company in San Francisco, and they do a lot of great stuff. My movies stream on their channel. I really like them. They do really super, super queer. And other than that, there's not a huge amount of stuff out there. There just isn't. It's not a big seller. Huh. So you can't produce something unless you're making something. If you have advertisers, right?
Yeah.
You need to make to produce. It's this cycle, and porn doesn't make the money it used to make.
Really?
No, no way. Come on, it's free on the internet. None of my porn makes money anymore. I give it away for free. I give it away for free.
Huh.
Because I have to. The reason that people are go, they maybe buy my movie or they find it, they rip it off and they put it on the internet. It was going so much that I was only spending my time sending out cease and desist letters. And I'm like, I have to figure out a better way for this to work for me. So what I did is I said, take it. Take it and I'll start producing products. And so I started producing products for that reason. So that, you know, I can't stop people from stealing.
Right.
I can't.
And that's, like, not your responsibility as, like, the performer, unfortunately.
It is. No, because they're my movies under my label.
Oh.
They're all my label movies.
Oh, they're Buck Angel Entertainment.
They're Buck Angel Entertainment. They steal them all and they put them up on the internet. And then I just said to myself, okay, this is just getting out of control. How can I make it work for me? And I just said, I'm stopping going to hunt my movies down because it's not going to work. And I have to figure out another way.
Yeah.
To generate income, speaking, going around the world, performing, producing products.
Yeah.
When
you're shooting a scene, is it the final product is derived to give someone pleasure?
Yes.
But during shooting of it, is it as big of a turn on for the people who are shooting it as it is for the people watching?
That's a good question. For me, and I don't know about, I can't speak for anybody else, but for me, and also for me as a performer, that was always the most important thing. If me and you are going to shoot a scene, we better really be into each other. If we're vibing out on each other, and it's not going to happen. I'm not going to shoot the scene because you can see that. I can see that as a producer, as a director, and as a performer. I don't like that when I see there's really no interaction between us. There's no passion. It's the reason why Valentina Nappi, the woman I shot with, she's a huge porn star, and me did a scene that's been nominated, that got AAA AVN nominate. It just went crazy because our passion to each other is there and we really enjoyed having sex. So that said, even the guys who shoot for me, I pretty much encourage them to let go. That's a very difficult thing because most of the trans guys that have shot with me have never shot film before. So it's only me and them in the room and nothing else. I turn the heater on. I make it very warm in there so that they start to feel hot. And as I'm talking about, you know, tell me about your transition, tell me about how you feel, and I start to take my shirt off. I'm not having sex with them, but I want them to feel sexy. So I'm interviewing them while they're starting to feel hot and sweaty, and it gets them to this desire of, oh, I want to be out of these clothes, and I'm starting to feel comfortable. It works every time.
That's really amazing to talk about, like, one's transition in, like, a pleasurable environment and frame it that way, as opposed to this dramatic thing.
No, I don't do that. I actually do a series called Sexing the Trans Man, and it's a docu-porn series, and I'm on the fifth volume, and what it does is I interview guys, and then I have them do a sex scene for me, but I interview them before you even get to see them have sex, so I humanize them, right? I let you learn who is Tony. Tony's this cool guy who, you know, was a woman, became a man, and now is very sexual in his body, and it works every time.
Oh my God. How do you help people get more comfortable with their own just sexuality?
Talking about it. Talking, inventing products that help you connect to your body, making films that really, the films that I do, the Sexy and Trans Men, are really for other trans men. And so that they can start to see the representation of themselves. I'm not the representation of the trans man. I'm just one guy. I don't want to be the only trans man out there showing my body and, you know, masturbating. I need hundreds, if not thousands and millions, so that you get to see the guy that turns you on or the guy that you feel like. And then it really does. It's an empowering thing. It if he can do it, why can't I?
Wow.
It's the same with someone's sexuality, gay. If you see gay guys having sex or there, it sort of legitimizes or humanizes your feelings. If you're never seeing any of that, you don't really understand that your feelings are totally normal. We have to normalize ourselves in a lot. I know a lot of people don't like that word, but find a better word for me and I'll use it. But for me right now, normalizing is very important because it creates the rest of the world to look at us like, oh, they're not freaky. I understand why they're this way.
Yeah. And to see you you're not just comfortable with your body, but you love your body.
Yes.
There's such a massive distinction there.
There is.
And to see like an example of somebody who loves their body, it's like, oh, wow.
I know. It sounds actually kind of egotistical or narcissistic, but it's not that way.
Yeah, and it's not like a queer or trans thing.
No.
It's just a person.
It's a human thing.
Yeah.
And that's why I actually tell people that I'm actually a human rights activist. I'm not a trans activist. My history is transsexual, for sure. My identity is not trans. I'm not a trans person. I'm a man. But my history is transsexual. And that said, it is so important. I hated my body for my whole life. I hated it. So I just knew one day, if I don't accept my body and make the body in my own vision, I will never be happy on this earth. And it has released me from that pain. I mean, we all have that pain with our bodies. You tell me one person that's born, comes in, is cool, and has everything. My body's nobody. Nobody.
So I read that the person who did your top surgery and put you on testosterone, that you were the first trans man they've ever worked with.
Yes. Yes. 22 years ago.
That's
yes.
So you were like...
you're speechless.
No, I'm wondering if like guinea pig sounds crass.
No, because I actually say that in my talks. I do say that because the doctor actually said that to me. The hormone doctor that I first went to had no idea how to give hormones to a transsexual man. And they only worked with transsexual women at the time, 22 years ago. And I found him because he only worked with transsexual women. And I couldn't find a doctor here. And when I went to him... He was like, I've been doing this for 30 years, Sonny. let me just tell you, I'm willing to work with you, my friend, but I don't know what I'm doing. And these are the words that came out of his mouth. You'll be my guinea pig. And you know, for one second I hesitated, and then I said, I can't hesitate. It's life or death. If I do not take this opportunity right now, I am going to kill myself. I knew it. And I took the opportunity, and the rest is history.
Wow.
Yeah.
It just hurt too much inside. You said you have to try this.
And my mantra used to be, if it doesn't work, I'll kill myself. And that pretty much applied to everything. I mean, can you imagine that just being your mantra? Not like, oh, you know, my mantra today is, I love life and gratitude is amazing. That's my mantra now. Well, my mantra before is, if it doesn't work, I'll just kill myself. That's horrifying and sad that someone had to believe that about themselves, that there was never going to be a future.
Yeah.
Never. And then this man gave me a future. Even though he said, you're going to be the guinea pig, he gave me this future. He was so loving and so amazing to me. I've never had anything but a loving experience from my medical side of the world, ever. And imagine, they never dealt. Yeah. That's real medicine, and that's real doctors.
Did you stop thinking about suicide after you transitioned?
100%. Never thought about it again, ever. In my whole life of transition, I've never thought about killing myself. I would say in the first month, I was nervous because back in the day, there was no internet. So I couldn't Google sex change. I couldn't Google what does a trans man look like? Where today, you just like inundated with it. So I had no understanding of what I was going to look like.
Oh, because your body's changing. You
yes.
have no idea how far it'll go. Or
my God, if you look at pictures of me before, I was a woman. And today, there's no problem with me. I look like a dude, for sure. No one ever even questions me. But this is all testosterone. The only thing is my chest because I had surgery, but everything is testosterone. That's it.
Does it feel different in your body?
100%.
The testosterone, really?
Yes. I mean, I can tell when I take my, you know, so I have to inject testosterone every 10 days for the rest of my life because I don't have testicles and I don't produce testosterone. So basically, I can actually feel the sort of, you know, I have testosterone in my body and then it actually goes down. So I feel hormonally sometimes a little off balance and I have to adjust where I'm at. I think biological or cisgender people might feel the same. I'm not sure. I guess that's a question for you. Are there times where you feel... I guess you wouldn't notice that because you're not injecting it. It's producing in your body.
I think...
And you're young.
Yeah. I don't know if it's my age or not, but I feel a constant level. I don't feel
yes.
any change.
It's your age. What happens is like later in late 30s, 40s, and we don't talk about this also for cisgender biological men. You go through menopause.
Yeah, and your T levels drop.
Yes.
Which is why about a year ago, I got mine tested. So I got a baseline.
Great.
And because the normal range for testosterone is wildly wide.
Yes.
my numbers were so high that it like blew me away.
Wow.
And I just was like, oh, wow. Like,
that's great.
I just felt like, oh, this is like running through me.
I know. I love it. Actually, I feel it. I feel like a different person. Honestly, I feel happy. I feel, and you can look at that with most trans people who have transitioned into a space. They're happier. They just feel like finally, you know, you have to understand our outside has to fit our inside for many of us because it's the way the world sees us. And if our outs, that's why it's so important for us to transition to the way that we want to look, whether it be hypermasculine, masculine, feminine. This is important because it's the way you come back to me.
Yeah. And I want to be clear to people listening that we're talking a lot about your genitals right. and genitals, and we're doing that because like you're okay with it.
I'm 100% okay with it.
Yeah, you've branded yourself in porn as the man with a pussy. And so that's why I'm asking these questions.
Right. No, it's not. And I just want to say you're not disrespectful. You've never been disrespectful.
Thank you.
You've always been very upfront with me. And you asked me even before the show, what would you like or not
for me to
say?
And let me know if it gets too personal. I just want to let people know who like might be like, whoa.
I appreciate that.
We don't do that normally. But while we do, I have another question.
And I want to say here on your show that nothing offends me. And if it does, I'm very forward about that. But honestly, the reason that I'm here is I'm an activist. I'm an educator. It is important to ask me questions that many other trans people won't answer. They won't. They won't talk about their genitals, and that's okay. But I will talk about it, and I will pretty much talk about anything.
I really appreciate that. And you've famously said that you love your vagina.
Famously, yes.
Can I ask what that means?
Sure. I think in that context of that specific thing, once I was on a Tyra Banks show, and she tricked me to be on that show, by the way, long story. But I was so mad, and then she looks at me, and she's like, with this weird question, so, you have a vagina, like all freaky. And I was like, yes. And she goes, but how do you have a vagina? And I'm like, oh, I was born a woman, I became a man, and because of that, I didn't, you know, I have a vagina, and I didn't get bottom surgery. And she's like, this is why I became famous.
Yeah.
And I looked at her, and I said, I love my vagina. And her face dropped, and she said, you love your vagina? And I said, of course I love my vagina. And then it was like my opening, and I looked right at her eyes, and I said, don't you love your vagina? And her face dropped, and she made the most crazy face, and she was like, no, I don't love my vagina. Powerful. That interaction right there was so powerful, she even knew it. As a woman sitting there with a man who has a vagina, and the man's like, I love my vagina, and the woman saying, ew, no, says everything about the way we were taught about vagina. Women are not supposed to embrace their vagina. Men do get taught to embrace. You don't know that because you're a born male and you haven't even understood the fact that you've been taught to love your penis.
Well, I've never actually thought about it either way.
Because you don't have to, because it's never been an issue. Where it's always been an issue for women to talk about their vaginas. It's always been an issue for women to love their vaginas. What was that? I think it was a Senate hearing, and the woman said vagina in the Senate hearing, and everyone lost their minds, and she got thrown out of the Senate. It was crazy.
Really?
Yes, it's a real thing. I will find it for you and send it to you. And everyone was up in arms because they're like, but wait a minute, would that have happened if she said my penis or that penis? And it was in the context of women's health care. And I'm like, wow, this is how the word vagina has become in this world, this really this dirty word that we're not. So that's why I walk around saying my vagina. You know, I'm empowered through my vagina, and I want to empower women. If it's going to take a man, if it's going to take a man to change the world and the way what we feel about vagina, then I'll take, that's my job. That's my job.
Yeah. That's a really interesting comparison, just that I don't think about mine because I don't have to.
You don't have to. It's never been an issue for you. You know, it's like being a person of color. We don't know their experience, but hell, their experience is really intense. Yeah. But as white people, we can't say, oh, you know, come on, get over it, or, you know, move. No way can we say that. It is not our experience. We don't live that. And so if you don't live with a vagina, whether you're a man or a woman, you will never have that experience of being degraded constantly. Vagina is made fun of. Vagina is the devil. Vagina, you know, men are scared of it. Like, what?
Yeah.
Who started this craziness about the vagina?
Yeah. You know, I'm never... I usually don't think about myself as... in terms of gender in the world. Like, when I'm ordering a coffee, I don't think about, like, I'm ordering this as a man.
Right.
But when I'm walking home late at night from a bar and it's dark, I am so thankful and so aware of my gender.
Yeah.
And like, if I'm walking up behind a woman, I'll like scratch my foot just to be like, someone's coming. Don't, I don't want to scare you.
You are awesome. You see that? How
I
that's
try.
Having conscious. No, that's being conscious of women.
Yeah.
If we have more men who are conscious of women in the world, I'm telling you, the world would be such a different place. But there isn't. Male privilege is a real thing. It's a real. I have it now.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? I have white male privilege. I'm walking the world. No wonder I'm happy.
Yeah.
But also at the same time, it actually is frustrating for me because I do come from a woman experience and I do come from a space where I'm an activist and I do see the privilege that I have many, many times over. And that's why I use my privilege to make change, because it wouldn't be okay if I sat here and took this privilege and just be selfish. It's not okay.
Yeah. And it's amazing that, like, you're the vehicle for this.
Isn't it weird? My vagina is the vehicle. Yeah. It's crazy.
Women are like, I love my vagina. Who taught you this? Oh, Buck Angel.
Yeah, but, I mean, my God, if it ever got to that level, I'd be so happy. Because it would be like, yeah, you know?
Yeah, you are such a happy person. And just looking back and, like, what you've survived, it's incredible. What are you, like, afraid of now? Like, what causes you stress?
Are you kidding? Well, I don't think in my personal life I have a lot of stress. I do have fear every once in a while. Stuff like regular people have, money stuff, these kind of things, you know, business stuff. But I think on a bigger level, right now for me, what I would say, I'm not a scared person. I've come out of my fear, and I'm not. But what I am concerned with, and it's going to become political now, of course, is the political climate in this country. And I don't know how the fuck. Are we allowed to say that?
Absolutely.
I don't know after I say it. I don't know how we got here. I'm a little bit disturbed for my own community and the fact that my community has become so divided in this, because there's many people within the LGBTQ community who have voted for Trump, and I'm just blown away. I'm blown away. I don't know if you're a Trump voter. I'm just making an assumption that you're not, but you could be. But I want to have a conversation. I want to have a conversation with somebody in my community as to why they would choose somebody like that. There is not one good value that that person brings to the table other than the fact of economics. This is what he reached our people through economics.
Wow.
If you think about it, look at his rhetoric. It's all about economics, and it's his rhetoric and his fear, and that's how you get people to vote and change, is by making fear, and he put fear in everybody.
Do you think the majority of people that provide you with hate on social media and like dissent, are they part of the trans community?
Some. Oh, yeah. I told you. I don't have I used to have a huge amount of trans haters, but not anymore. They calm down and they sat down with themselves and they listen to what I'm really saying. That said, I would say I have it more from mainstream, you know, the cisgender world men. Cisgender straight men. So those men really don't like me because I talk about my penis. I mean, I talk about my vagina and not having a penis.
Yeah.
And that upsets them because they're so come on, you know, men are so connected to their penises. And here I am, a man, saying your penis isn't really that big of a deal, dude. Get over it.
Well, I mean, like, the first person who comes along always kind of needs to be the loudest.
Yes. This is very true. Most definitely. As a pioneer, you have to scream, 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 scream. But that said, I'd say I have hate more from them and also from the trans men in the community. And some trans women can be, you know, that way too. But honestly, I don't even think about the haters anymore. They're really, it's dwindling. My hate is dwindling. I don't even see. And the haters who do like me, they stay in their little bubbles and they don't even confront me.
Good.
They do it in this way where somebody will come to me and say, somebody was saying bad things about you on the internet. I'm like, and if they really need to, why don't they say it to me?
We have bigger enemies to fight.
Yes. Why are we bickering in our community, my friend? Why are we doing that?
Yeah, I agree. Before I let you go, you have more sex toys on the horizon. Is that correct?
Yes. So I released the Buck Off, and the Buck Off just went insane. And then the owner of the company, Steve Callow, said, well, my friend, I just have to tell you how incredibly proud I am of you and this. And it's just made me so excited that, you know what? Let's do a whole line of Buck Angel toys. And I was like, what? And he's like, of course, that's a no-brainer too. So yeah, I'm releasing two new products in January at the shows in Vegas. And
what are they?
I'm not telling you.
Oh,
wait till you see. Right. I'm so excited. It's a game changer.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, it's a game changer. I'm so lucky. I am.
That's amazing.
Thank you.
Are you going to be making, like, good money from it
soon? You know, I'll tell you this. I'll be honest with you about the financial gain. I'm not making hardly any money off of that. And the reason why I'm not is because I chose not to. So as a sex toy manufacturer, they understand how to market and how to put it out there and price points. And so an original price point of that would have been somewhere around $50 or $60. And so for me, this is a community service. It is not for me to make a lot of money on. So I said to the guys, I said, look, you know, I'm going to tell you right now, the trans male community has no money. We don't have money. They don't have jobs. It's difficult to get jobs. You're dealing with surgeries. You just don't have a lot of money. So I cannot make a product for $60 or $70 and expect my trans brothers to dish out that kind of money. I won't feel comfortable. And then everyone's going to think I'm just doing it to make money off the community when that's not the reason I made that.
Yeah.
So I actually got it all the way down to $29.95 retail, which is incredible, I have to tell you, because now it's affordable. It's accessible to my community, and that was the most important part. So
that is huge.
Yeah, so I'm not a millionaire. I'll never be a millionaire from that. I'll be a millionaire from something else.
I didn't say millionaire, okay.
And then as you see, that's in the back of my head. One day I will be a millionaire.
And then I always like to ask people about their tattoos because I find them fascinating.
Yes.
You're almost covered.
I am almost covered, actually. And come on, we could be here for 10 days. It's just...
Tell me about the one on your back.
Oh,
you have pervert across your back.
Pervert came...
If you squint, it looks like perfect.
It totally does. It's embarrassing. People will say, does that say perfect? And I'm like, oh, I'm so embarrassed. Right? No, it's pervert. That came from a part of my life when I really was experimenting with my sexuality a lot. And I was experimenting in the BDSM world, and I was experimenting with fetishes, and I was experimenting with all this sexual play. And then I just said to myself, I am such a pervert. And pervert is such a great word to me. It's such a powerful word, and it really gets a bad rap. If you look, pervert, people just, you know, it's a derogatory statement to a lot of people. And I wanted to reclaim that word as a way of saying, no, I actually am a pervert and I'm very proud of it. So I thought about doing that with the word tranny too, because tranny's become a very bad word that we're not allowed to use anymore, which I actually will disagree with you, and then why I'm using the word right here. I disagree with that, totally.
And I think that people fall on both sides.
Yes, of course.
Obviously, I'm not the authority.
Of course.
But,
And I'm not the authority either. All I am is a person who comes from that experience and used that word for many years of my life, along with my trans sisters. And for some people in this community to think that they have the right to tell us how to speak or to reclaim words is irresponsible, disrespectful to elders who have reclaimed that word and have used that word. And to now put it out in the world that tranny is, it is a derogatory statement. 100% it is. But the only way you can get people to stop using a word is by reclaiming the word. And where do you think the word queer came from? Yeah. You know the history of the word queer. Of course you do. Look at what does your sign say right here?
It's how I like self-identify. Yeah,
of course. But how did it get to be a word that we can now reclaim when many older gay men hate that word?
Yeah.
But we're using that word. So I always ask that same question and nobody can answer it to me. How come we can't do the same with the word tranny?
I have to imagine that it's because gay and lesbian rights have moved a lot faster than trans acceptance.
You think so?
I know it for a fact.
That's not true.
That with really?
I disagree with you on that. Oh, 100%
really?
I do. And it's okay. This is a great discussion.
I'm thinking in terms of, obviously, like, gay marriage, but, like, being, like, fired from jobs and, like socioeconomic status.
Oh, my God. The trans rights movement has moved so fast in the 3 years, faster than any other movement.
Oh, maybe I misspoke. I meant to where they are today. I do not believe they're equal.
They're equal on some levels. Maybe trans have more rights than gays.
Oh,
yes. And I'm telling you, as a transsexual person who transitioned 22 years ago, I'm watching things that I would never think that I would see. We got name changes. We're getting health care. We're getting things that gay people still don't get. I mean, we fought forever to get gay marriage. Forever to get gay marriage. We just got gay marriage. I identify also as gay. So I'm thinking to myself, wow, people don't talk about how we fought for how many years to get gay marriage, and trans people's rights are changing like that. I'm telling you.
But I don't know where the stat comes from.
Yeah.
But people, like Bambi Salcedo.
Yeah, who's a very good friend of mine.
Yeah, she's fantastic. Yes. She says that the average income for a trans person is $10,000.
This is true. This is very true. But at the same time, it was once like that for gay and lesbian people, no doubt.
Oh, yeah.
But we just came onto the scene. Right?
Yeah.
We kind of just came onto the scene. We were still not, our community is huge now compared to what it was 5 years ago.
Oh, absolutely.
So the gay and lesbian community has been working towards that for many more years than we have. So I think if you put it in context of the years that we've been fighting and you've been fighting, I think that we're moving pretty fast.
I'm moving fast, I would say, like, not quickly enough.
But it's never quick enough, and will it ever be? And now we're in a situation with Trump where everything's going to be ripped out from underneath us.
Yeah, I just think, like, looking at our country, people have kind of abandoned fighting against, like, gay and lesbian acceptance, and they moved on, like, towards, like, trans people with, like, bathroom bills.
Well, that's the one thing, and that's, I'm going to tell you, that's the thing that everyone always goes to, and it was a plan that they had. They clearly put that out there to get people fearful of trans people.
Yeah.
It was a brilliant maneuver on their part, because what they did is they now used this one thing, and all we ever talk about is the toilet now, as opposed to the other things. And I have to tell you that I really do think that trans people are much more accepted than gay people on many levels, is because of this, and I'll tell you, and I say it all the time, sexuality and gender are two different things. You are, I'm assuming, a gay man.
Yes, I'm queer,
okay,
yeah.
So you are a queer man.
Same word.
Okay, same thing, right. And so that said, people think about your sexuality. They do not think about your gender. People have a more difficult time thinking about sexuality. When they think about a trans person, they think about gender. Oh, he used to be a woman and now he wants to be a man. It's not threatening to them because it's not sexual. You understand what I'm saying?
I understand. I'm just surprised that you're saying that.
It's something I surprise everybody about because I believe it because I work in the sex industry. The minute someone says something about a gay person, what do they think? They think about their sexuality. They don't think about, oh, that's just a guy who maybe is in love with another guy and they have a family. How beautiful. They never think that. They always think, how do you have sex? They don't think that about me. They think, oh, wow, you used to be a woman and now you're a man. Cool. I'm telling you, whenever I say I'm gay, people immediately go, well, how do you have sex? What is it that you do? What kind of people that you like? When I say I used to be a woman and now I'm a man, they're like, oh, wow, that's really interesting. Cool. They make less of a judgment about me because it's about my gender and not my sexuality. And I really believe the world has an easier capability to understand gender than they do sexuality.
And do you think that's the norm, too? For your experience? Really?
Yes. And it's, see how nobody talks about it except me. Never. You never hear that because the trans people won't talk about it. Because I will talk about it in my, this is only my experience though. I'm not saying, it is only my experience and my observation. That's all. And I'm just saying that people say gay, immediately they think about sex. They don't think about loving couples. They don't think about two men in love. They think about what do you do in your bedroom?
I just think about, like, trans acceptance and, like, the high, like, suicide rate.
Oh, there's a huge suicide rate because that's also, and there's a huge suicide rate in the gay community, too. Let's not
but
be.
But it's not, it's like.
It's
like,
nowhere near the trans
community.
It's
like 25% versus 40%.
But it's grown tremendously now because we have a higher rate of people transitioning. That's the other thing. And we don't have any medical. We have no medical care for trans people. Zero. Wow. We can't go in and say, you know what, I need hormones. And then your insurance company doesn't pay for that. They consider it elective. They consider everything I have about myself, my surgery, my hormones, elective surgery, as if it's a choice. It's not a choice. Your sexuality isn't a choice.
No.
It's just natural. My desire to be a man is not a choice. It is a medical condition that needs to be fixed through surgery and hormones, and it should be covered through. So yes, this is where suicide comes from, but it's also because we haven't been having this large conversation.
Yeah.
This just started.
Yeah.
As an old trampa, I'm telling you, the
trampa.
World is changing for trans people. I'm telling you, I'm the guy who always looks at the higher part of it, not the guy that says, well, of course we still have a lot of work.
Yeah.
But we need to be grateful for what we have now. 22 years ago, I was a guinea pig. Never would a doctor say that to you again today.
No.
So you have to understand where I'm coming from and why I tell my trans community to be more grateful. Definitely keep fighting and we need to change things, but be grateful. 20 years ago, you couldn't do what you're doing. 5 years ago, you couldn't do what you were doing. Things are changing. Be grateful for that.
Wow. That is not how I thought we'd end it, but I think it's a great place to end it.
Right on.
Thank you for really being here.
Thank you. It's
fantastic.
No, it means
a
lot to me. I appreciate it. Thank
absolutely.
You. Thank you.
And everybody, hello home. Thank you for watching. Thank you for commenting and subscribing on iTunes. That's hugely helpful. And we'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Bye.
For From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other After shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.